Welcome back to the Johnny Londoff Chevrolet Line Change on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.
Hey, 855-282-8255 is the text line number. The St. Louis Blues, another shutout on the road. It was their sixth game in 9 days, and they went 5-1 in those six games, beating Arizona on Saturday night. The Blues now tied with Nashville for third place in the Central Division, but the Blues have the tiebreaker. And if you guys have been following how the team in second place in the Central Division, Minnesota's been doing not great. They've
not
lost
good.
Five in a row, eight of their last 10. And I never thought I'd utter these words this season. Jake Allen is playing much better than Devan Dubnyk. Devan Dubnyk, basically, he was the best goalie, one of them in the NHL the first half. He has been awful in March. Part of the reason that they have lost five games in a row and eight of their last 10. His save percentage is under 900 in March.
That's great for us. What's up?
Well, we were just talking about before the show, you and I were, about you can go from Jake Allen, who looks, I mean, so bad that you won't even bring him on a road trip.
Oh,
to
like stay home.
The very best goalie in the league the past month.
I know.
Like it's people don't understand how much of an athlete's performance is in their head. This is 100% in his
ridiculous.
Head. And all it takes sometimes is a guy who's done it to say, hey, you're good.
You're good.
Because Brodeur's probably not telling him too much. I'm sure he's giving him little tips, but not anything he's never
square
heard
to the
before.
Puck. Yep. Square up to the puck. That's all he's saying to him. No, mm-hmm. Square up to the puck. Mm-hmm. And those are the little tangibles that you forget whenever you're in a slump. It's the little, and I know it's a cliche, but it's the little things that you do wrong, and it adds up in a game, and all of a sudden you play a bad game because you're not doing the little things because you're thinking about so many other details of your skill set and other of your performance that you have to deal with. You aren't looking at the little things like square up to the puck. Always keep your feet moving. Always have that bounce in your step when you're coming out on 2-on-1. Square up, do this, do that. And Marty's just whispering this into his ear. And he's probably like, oh, okay, I get it. Maybe I will try that. Okay, oh, this kind of feels comfortable. I mean, just to have somebody just right there saying that to you. And again, TJ, where you're coming from, a lot of it is so mental, it's disgusting. And that is a perfect analysis right there. Like, look, he went through one of the worst slides I've ever seen in any goalie I've ever played with. And I'm like, wow, because his skill set's there. You can't get this far without having somewhat of a skill set. Like, you know he's good.
And he showed it last year.
And he's won in every level. He's good. You just got to get him focused in the right spot. And boy, oh boy, especially for a goalie, man, everything is upstairs. And if you don't have that going,
you know what I think they should do?
Treading water.
So like in the NFL, middle linebackers and quarterbacks get something in their head, right? They get microphones for in between plays.
Oh, like a chip in your head or something?
In the helmet, not the head.
Yeah, the helmet is what I meant.
We're not quite there yet.
Like you gave a dog.
You get speakers.
Yeah.
Well, everybody else on the field gets to go to the bench and hear from coach. The goalies don't. I think they should have something that was only available after whistle.
Oh, for the goalies?
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd probably confuse the hell out of you. I don't know. Maybe that could work. But look, you just, if you're not in your game during that, nothing's gonna change that except for yourself, in my opinion.
Now, Marty Brodeur could whisper into his ear, yeah, nice save, Jake.
He doesn't need to be doing that every single game. Like, he's going to be doing other things anyway here soon. But for him, Marty needs to come in when there's a couple days off and then really sit down with him in a practice where he could really get a hold of him and say, hey, look, try this. Grab some shots. There's not much you could say in the goalie's ear.
I think it was Panger was saying during the last game that Brodeur actually come in and talk to him in between periods, which they're not
used
to.
That's a different story.
Yeah,
no, that's a different story.
He said that most goalies don't have that, and they're not used
really?
To that. I don't know. Panger sort of said that on the broadcast.
I heard him say that.
Of course he didn't come down and talk to him between periods. Now, that's weird because I've seen that in every single level.
Really?
Every single level the goalie coach would come down and talk to the starting goalie between every single period.
It sounded like on the broadcast that they were not.
That'd be
doing
hard
that.
To believe.
Eric, you heard that?
I think I heard what TJ said.
That'd be hard to believe, to be honest with you. If he didn't come down after every period, because it is a pain in the ass to go all the way up top, because all the goalie coaches are standing with all the GMs and everything, the brass, they all watch the game together and they go over their notes, and they come down and talk, and there'll be a couple of assistant coaches up there too. The eye in the sky. They'll gather their notes when they're watching the game, go over it, and then they'll go down between periods, talk to the individual players that they need to, give their speech. But the goalie coaches would always go down there and talk to the goalie, always, in every league I've played in. So that is very, very bizarre.
Yeah. Is there a phone that you can call from up top down to the bench?
Well, yeah, they got
during
mics.
The game?
They got mics.
They?
You see, they're all mic'd up, and they're looking at the – they got – now they have TVs where they're standing. So the, you ever see that, the coaches look down?
That's for the challenges, right?
Yeah, just to keep an eye, like, what was that, a penalty? Was that not? Or whatever. Mm-hmm. Yeah, for challenges and for everything. You're keeping it. You've seen a replay. Sure. Jake was out of position there, or Gunnarsson was out of position there. It's all. So they do. They have an assistant coach up there with the goalie coach and with the brass, and they communicate with each other. Boom, boom, boom. That is so weird.
Yeah, that is weird, because that is what he said.
I can't believe that.
I'd like to. We should have Darren Pang back on.
Yeah, I know.
Because he said they're not used to that. This is a little bit of a change for him, because Brodeur is actually coming down and coaching them between periods. Normally, you have them allow them to gather their thoughts and have some time in between periods.
I'll tell you this right now about that game. I was very nervous about the Blues going into Arizona. That is not an easy place to play.
It's
I
an easy game to overlook.
You're absolutely right.
Especially they've been winning lately.
They've been winning. You're right. They've just beat the Kings.
They've beat good
teams.
They
beat some damn good teams. Yeah. They have nothing to play for.
They've beat Minnesota.
They don't care if they turn the puck over. They don't care. There's nothing to play for down there except for individual reasons. And sometimes that's hard to play against when people don't care and they take risks and chances. And to go into a building and have 13,000 people watching you with absolutely no atmosphere. I mean, there's no atmosphere in that building. It's tough to get up in those buildings in your fourth game on a road trip after playing in San Jose, which is rocking and rolling. They're in your face with superstars, and you go to this and a bunch of minor league kids playing, really, up-and-comers, and with no atmosphere, and they went in there and they beat the hell out of them.
And the thing I like, too, in addition to all that, it was their sixth game in nine nights, and they came out on fire. They outshot them 16-3 in the first period.
I'm like, wow, good for you. I mean, that game could have been 8-1. That could have been a blown-out game.
Schwartz just can't buy one still.
He can't. I thought he tipped that one into Petro, threw in there. And
It'll happen.
And it might be another one.
He had another chance, too. He just can't buy one.
But look, again, and I'm not going to be hard on Schwartzy, because he has been playing very, very, very well. But when guys say, we don't need him scoring. No. You do need him scoring. You need him scoring goals. You need him making those nice backdoor plays of Vladdy Tarasenko. But you need 17 to put pucks in the damn net. You do. And he needs to start doing it before we get into this the playoff hunt here. But we'll see what happens. But, again, he is playing very well.
And before we move on from Jake Allen too far, this is what he had to say after the game when he was told that he passed his career high in wins this season.
I had no idea. Cool, I guess. I don't know. I never even knew how many wins I had last year, so it is what it is.
Can I say something on that? I believe him.
Oh, yeah.
I believe him. Wait. I know that he knew, because you read the pregame thing, like you read your stats and all that crap before you go into games.
Do you think players actually do that, at all players?
Of course they look. I'll explain it. You walk into a locker room 2.5 hours before the game. There's these little prep notes sheets on every stall. You walk in there, everybody grabs one. You go take a dump, you read everything. You read the stats.
Gross.
Yeah, but that's what you do when you walk into the locker rooms. The first thing you do is you go to the bathroom.
Cam,
you grab one of these things,
again.
You read. You sit there, you tape your stick, and you read what's going on with San Jose, what's going on with the Blues, different articles. They know exactly what's going on. But for Jake to say that, maybe he did read about it. Yeah, so he definitely knew. But he didn't care, and that's why he's like, it happened, da-da-da. He's not the one that's really reading that and thinking about it.
But
he
if
knew
he's
about
a player where things get in his head, maybe he's avoided looking at his stats and looking at some of the failures.
But in the offseason is where you hear it more than anything. After the season, when they were trading Brian Elliott and they were going over things, in every article it was, Jake Allen had this many wins last year, they're going to be fine.
I don't agree with that. I don't agree with that. In the offseason, he's not hearing a damn thing about anything. He's up in his cottage up north, and he's not listening to anybody talk, because no one talks hockey during the offseason anyway in St. Louis. He heard everything during this year, and he hears it during the year. If you go to the grocery store, you hear it. You go here, you hear it. You go there, you hear it.
Even at the end of last year, he would have heard it, though. And I don't agree.
Of course. But my point is, even if you don't want to – because after a while, you don't want to read about yourself if you're playing bad. You just don't. But sometimes it's hard to avoid it. And when he goes in the locker, he knows exactly what's going on especially something positive like that. He knew that was going down for a long time now. It's on every single note. It's everywhere. It's hard not to find that kind of stuff.
And
did he think about it?
And you're
no.
telling me nobody told him?
No one told him. Like, come on. No. The way he answered that, the way I look at it is, yes, he knew. Does he care? No. And do I genuinely believe he cares? I believe he does not care about that. Most goalies would. I think he doesn't. I think he's one of those guys like, eh.
I think he's just glad to be playing well again.
Exactly. He knew about that. Mm-hmm. It's hard to avoid that.
Yeah. The broader point is how much different things look now. The sky was falling. They fired their coach, underachieving, and now they're 14-7 under Mike Yeo. They're tied with Nashville for third, but given their schedule, are the strong favorite to finish third. And the team that likely play in the first round, Minnesota,
I like it.
Is slumping badly.
I like our matchup against
look
them.
A lot better. Here's Alex Pietrangelo. This is what he had to say after the game about how the teams are pay attention to the standings.
I'd be lying to you if I didn't admit that we knew where we were in the standings and what the situation is. So we're really trying to separate ourselves here, trying to catch the guys in front of us. And the only thing we can do is worry about ourselves, and that's what we've been doing.
Yeah. I mean, of course I know where they're at in standings. How can you not? You should know.
But the way that their season's gone, I think that what you're saying about them keeping it simple really is a must. I mean, it's been so much that now you get past kind of what I would consider to be kind of the mountains in the schedule.
You're past the dog days of the schedule.
Right.
Absolutely. Yeah. Even though you're playing every other damn night now, you're past that February month where it's like no end in sight. Now you're like, okay, yeah, we have games every other day, but we see where the hell we're going. We see the light at the end of the tunnel, that playoff role right there that we're about to grab. That's the mindset they have. When the weather starts changing, I've always remembered, no matter when I was in Windsor or was in Jersey, when the weather starts changing and you get that spring feel in the air, you know that's playoff time coming. You get a different mindset going. In February, it is the dog days. Snow on the ground. It's miserable to get in your truck. You don't see the playoff hunt just yet, but once that springtime comes around and you're in the hunt and the weather's changing, you just get a different mindset for it. And look, the boys are playing the right way. They're playing hockey the right way right now in both ends of the ice.
So let me ask a question. If there's been a lot of talk that the team now has an identity,
yeah,
what would you say it is?
Great goaltending.
And great defense.
Everybody's playing the way they're supposed to play. They really are.
Well, I don't think you can dispute that they've turned into a defensive team. It's not an offensive.
They've always been a defensive team.
They've always been a defensive team. Their defense was actually lacking for the first part of the season.
So their identity is the same as what it was last year. They just got to have a couple other guys step up a little more.
To an extent.
Yeah.
They're back to
what
they were.
I don't think it's the same team as last season by any means.
Well, no, they're not the same team, but I think their identity is somewhat the same. They're hard on the puck. They, you know, play sound. Everything starts in the D zone. And they're fronting pucks, and they're playing zone defense.
It's almost becoming a team where even when you're outshot, you're still accurate enough because of your solid goaltending. You're getting those goals in to where you can still win games.
The reason why they're getting outshot is not – you got to look at the great scoring chances, too, that stat, more than anything. Because a lot of these teams, like, I think it was – God, who they played the other night that they got outshot, but they won the game. Was it Anaheim?
Like four games in a row.
Anaheim just funnels pucks through the net. Yep. They funnel shots, and a lot of those shots – they were just
are never going to be goals.
Terrible right. angles, bad angle shots, and they just kind of added up a little bit. But then we outshot in chances against. We had six chances more than they did. So you got to. It's hard to look at the stats like that and really dissect and how the game really went. But they're giving away a lot of crappy shots, and that's fine.
On Saturday on Fox Sports, they showed the stat: the Blues are 29th in the league, next to last in shot attempts. I think this is a team a lot like last year. They do it a different way than they did last year.
Well, they don't have two big boys up front.
But last year, what the Blues did and the reason for their success, they were very good at goal prevention. They were very good on special teams. They weren't so great offensively 5-on-5. This team is up to third in the league in power play. They're sixth on the penalty kill.
Yeah,
they're great defensively.
Yeah.
They've become, in a different way. They're doing it a different way, but the results are what they were basically doing last year.
Exactly. No, they are. They're doing the right things. Everybody's playing their role exceptional. You can't ask Pay-Arvey to take Backus's role over, or you can't tell you know Gunnarsson to take over Shattenkirk. So no, you just play your damn role and play it to a
T. I think the biggest thing is watching all of these guys step up.
That's
the biggest thing. I mean, you see Scotty Upshaw with those goals. You see guys stepping up because you can't sit there and rely on Bomeister, Pietrangelo, Steen, Schwartz, Tarasenko, the same guys every game. You have to have everyone stepping up because everyone can't always be consistent every single night.
And guys need to be consistent.
They need to
be,
but when they aren't, you have the other guys to fill that role.
And
I think that's what you've seen these in this road trip, especially.
A Scotty Upshaw or a Barbashev will tap one in, or a Sanford.
Even Sanford's stepping up.
I loved his celebration, by the way. He looks so cool. I wish I was able to do that. Every time I
scored,
I look like a child. Like, he was just like, yeah, I've done this. And you know what? I'm going to do it again.
This Blues,
he's modest.
I loved it.
This Blues Report brought to you by Dirt Cheap. Gear up for basketball madness on the cheap at Dirt Cheap. Score big on all your favorite cold beer, liquor, and wine for your watch parties. Huge selection of cold beers on the cheap, local, domestic, import, and craft beers. You miss 100% of the shots you don't take, so take them on the cheap, dirt cheap. Download the new Dirt Cheap app today for more savings and get a free Dirt Cheap can koozie. Dirt Cheap, your one-stop party shop.
Yeah, it is. Don't go not shooting that ball when you got a chance.
No, baby.
Right.
Let it
fly. I like Dirt Cheap, man.
TJ, good news. They have found Tom Brady's stolen jersey.
I've heard that.
In Mexico.
I want to know what's going on.
What the
hell
is that all about?
Okay, Jay Glazer's been all over this on FS1.
Is he in Mexico?
He's one. Well, he's
El Chapo.
First
get
of all,
it?
He, no. This is my first thought was the FBI found this.
That's
the FBI
what I
is supposed
said.
To be investigating Russia and
I know.
Worried about
we don't
finding
care.
That's
Tom
what
Brady's
I said.
Jersey.
What has the world come to when the FBI's sole mission is finding Tom Brady's stolen jersey?
There's other things
we do have
about.
A we do have a statement from Tom. Gosh. I'm happy my jersey from Super Bowl 49 and Super Bowl 51, by the way, they found the other one while looking for this, has been recovered. And I want to thank all the law enforcement agencies involved. I know they worked hard on this case and it's been very much appreciated. Hopefully when I get my jerseys back, I can make something very positive come from this experience. So
and
we'll
this,
probably put it up for charity.
This is people say, how can this happen? Let me tell you, I covered the NBA Finals 1 year. At the end of that, these kind of events, it's chaos. It's so
everybody's
easy.
Everywhere.
You're in the locker room. You can't move. There's media everywhere. It would be so easy to
so
grab
this
a jersey
was,
out of a locker.
100%.
This was an international reporter who got accredited somehow to be in the locker room. He walked in. They showed the video how they actually allegedly found this guy. I don't know that they've necessarily put it down because the way Glazer was talking, he said allegedly everything. So he walks in with just a backpack, and then he walks out with a black. It looks like there's some. Basically, he put it inside of some plastic, and then there was black inside of it. So you couldn't see it. It was his jersey, but it was something underneath his arm. They said they think the same guy stole Von Miller's cleats after the Super Bowl they won in 2040s.
So is this like Thomas Crown is walking around in there? Like they literally.
Here was my first thought. Number one, it was the FBI. Number two is when you know something's going to be this crazy, how have you not had better security than this? This is the Super Bowl.
Right.
I think they have security in different areas. Probably better.
What happens is you get in the locker
room. You
need
more security than in the locker room? That's where you need the most security.
But look, it's so chaotic in there that it looks like a big party. Everybody's standing right there, and there's little sections off where there'll be players getting interviewed. So even if you had security everywhere,
before.
It doesn't matter. You just stand there and you're acting like you're filming them, and all of a sudden you reach down and grab it. Like, you can't look at everybody. It's
Tom should
chaos.
Have his own personal security, honestly.
I agree with that.
There's not enough room for security, too, in the locker room.
Especially after that game.
Right,
I mean,
it's
come on.
So crowded
TJ.
And congested. You
or how about you put all
move.
Your equipment in one damn thing afterwards? Like, throw the jerseys in here, put your cleats in here, we'll put it all away, we'll organize it later. But he's just throwing it on the ground, and then people come in.
No, he said it was in his bag.
Well, let me tell you about football universe. Football, you can't get the jersey off your shoulder pads. That somebody does that for you.
Oh, yeah.
So football, the jerseys are so tight. If I put a jersey on right now, it would be the tightest shirt you've ever seen me wear. And then you have to fit that over shoulder pad. So when you take it all off.
That's
you need
a lot.
You need help. Thank you. I know. I figured out at some point that the smaller shirts you wear, the bigger you look. So anyway, somebody has to help you get your shoulder pads on and off. So somebody had to take those off of his shoulder pads to steal that.
Well, who
that's
did
how
it?
That works. Well, we know. I think we know who it is.
And
they blurred
guy?
Out. They blurred out this guy's
El Chapo.
Face. So you, yes, baby.
TJ, I was just going to ask if you had volunteered to be Tom Brady's personal bodyguard.
Underwear bearer?
I have volunteered to be Tom's personal a lot of things, and I'm waiting for him to accept.
Mm-hmm. An underwear bearer?
Yeah. Sure.
How do you list that job?
Oh.
Cradle thy
I'll put his Uggs on for him every morning. Oh. I don't care.
I think we could work that out, TJ.
I don't see why not.
I don't see either.
I don't have his number, but I have the number of some guys that talk to him every day. So let's just go that route.
Let's try it out.
All right, cool.
Let's see where we can get
this. And by the way, a source told ESPN authorities used footage from Fox, which is in the locker room at the time, which showed this guy, Ortega, entering the locker room with his back to the camera, reaching into Brady's bag, putting the jersey into plastic bag.
Maddie, I'm about to send you something. We have that video. It was on Colin Coward's show this morning. So I saw him tweet it out. We will tweet that video or retweet Colin Coward's tweet, and you guys can actually go see the video. Jay Glazer broke down the whole thing. It's pretty fascinating.
And we may laugh at the FBI investigating it. This is valued at $500,000. Imagine if like something was stolen.
Yeah,
so that's
still.
The value of it is what makes it.
You'd have to steal me, and you'd still come up short.
I know. Probably all of us combined.
Yeah, I'm worth about $20,000, probably. I don't know,
give
Cam.
Or take.
If somebody called you and said, "Hey, we've got Matt. What are you gonna do?
Can of beer, maybe.
Man. I don't know. Maybe a Tuller more do or two.
Yeah. There you go.
Entire case for you.
$53 street value right now. I passed by a whole case of Tuller more do yesterday morning when I was on my way into brunch. Somebody had a big night underneath that bridge.
Yeah, what was that all about?
I don't know. I got the car and it was a crazy.
You wake up underneath a bridge. God, that must have been a bad night.
I don't know if I ever went to sleep, but. When I came back around, there was that. It was kind of like when the Hulk just wakes up and he's like, "Oh, I had a bad night last night."
No idea what you're talking about, but look,
I went
sleep
crazy.
Under bridges. That's not a good look for you in the show.
Vagrancy.
You can meet some people down there.
Yeah, you can.
A lot of people going to Bridges.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, yeah. No, I don't want those people. I don't need those. Hey, Nick is sending in pictures from the Konzo Martin thing.
Yeah, his press conference starts at 4 o'clock here.
This thing looks pretty big. I don't know where they're streaming.
Rock, see if you can find that. Rock.
Michael Porter Sr. going to be there with him, maybe?
Oh, wow. There you go.
Dave Matter was on a show today talking about that.
A show?
Charlie is down there, too. He just sent in a breaking picture of Konzo Martin's parking space. So it's official.
Yeah. I saw Hawkman tweeted that out as well. Yeah,
they're all over it. St. Louis media mavens.
Yeah, don't park there. No. There was like
I could get away.
We used to park. Pinkle had his own parking spot. It's the closest thing you could have. I mean, I think the handicapped people were after him. And
all of them.
I'm only half joking.
And the handicapped get all the good spaces. I mean, like all of them.
Yeah, and pregnant women.
And there should be one for leg day. But besides that, Pinkle had one.
Good one, TJ.
And there was not. There should be one for leg day. And I'm just because you don't work out anymore. When was the last time
probably
you worked
out? I look like again? I do.
What? Tight shirts.
Yeah, you look jacked today.
Thanks, buddy. I put a lot of weight on.
Eric said that five times.
Yeah,
and he's starting
you're
kind
of creeping me out.
Wow,
when
you're
see
looking
it,
good, man. I'm
like
just
the
saying.
The third or fourth time, I'm like, okay. But then the fifth time came around, I'm like, all right.
Not
dude.
A fan of that. But you do not park in the head coach's spot. There was not one time where I saw it. And we're talking, and Pinkle could be out of town for the summer, and there wasn't a single person that parked
in
his
same
spot.
As Lou. Same thing as Lou Lamoriello, man. Everybody knew where the hell he parked. Oh, yeah.
855-282-8255 on the text line. It's time for another High School Athlete of the Week vote on InsideSTL.com.
Yep, the list of athletes are up as of today, and you can vote until Thursday morning. Nikki Hill and I will be going to the winning athlete school to do a quick video. So the nominees for this week are Daniel Ferris from Vishon Basketball. He's a senior in the championship win over Bolivar. He had quite a few points. Katie Kircher, Alton Soccer junior striker. She had two goals in the Metro tournament for their final win. Blake Hutchison from Lindbergh Baseball. He's a senior pitcher. In the 7-0 win over St. Mary's, he had a great game. And Tim Kettler from Pattonville Baseball Jr., he had a home run, a triple, three RBIs, and a win over Melville. And Lauren Miller, Kirkwood Basketball Senior Forward, she had 20 points in the championship game over Lee Summit. So you can get on.
Yeah.
Go to InsideSTL.com right and check that out. This is the Line Change driven by Johnny Londoff Chevrolet on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.